Amen, and thank you, Jesus. It's going to be recorded this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We're coming from the text of Luke 23, verses 32 through 43. And I'm going to be speaking on one of the seven sayings of Jesus Christ from Calvary's cross, amen. RJ spoke on, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And I'm going to be speaking on the second saying, amen.
Amen.
We're going to read Luke 23, 32 through 43. Reads thusly. Two others, criminals, who were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders kept scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, if you are king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription above him, this is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God? Since you're undergoing the same punishment, we are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done no wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he, that is Jesus, said to him, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Key verse being verse 43. He said to him, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the second saying, amen?
Amen.
He assured you, you will be with me in paradise. Assured. That means with certainty. That means you can take it to the bank. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
Which means that you can stake your eternity on it. You can stake your eternity on what Jesus said on the cross. He said, I assure you, you will be with me in paradise. This day, amen?
Amen?
If Jesus said it, then it's so.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Women group, if Jesus said it, then it's so.
Amen.
Amen? Now, I'd be surprised if there's anyone in this room, aside from the children, who haven't seen the movie, The Passion of Christ. And I got to say that Mel Brooks did an exciting job of depicting the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amen. It focused on the brutality and the carnality of it all. And I mean, the details were so graphic. I know that as it was going, I was reminded, and I don't know about you, but I was reminded when all of the beating and the tearing of the skin and using the cat of nine tails and the blood pouring out and Jesus standing there taking it all and looking upon the people and asking for their forgiveness. During that whole thing, it was so horrible, so horrific. And I know it got a lot of accolades and everything, but it reminded me of just how guilty I am. It reminded me of how deserving of punishment, the punishment that Christ endured, that I am. All for all the offenses and all the crimes and all the bad deeds that I've done in my life. It reminded me of just how guilty and punishable for the sins that I committed that I am. But I'm here to tell you that though Mel Gibson might have come close to what we're deserving of in his depiction of Christ's crucifixion, it doesn't really, I can't imagine that it really can compare to what Jesus went through. And not only that, he leaves out a really stirring and important detail for the sinner, and it must be told. And I pray that through this message today that I get a chance to tell it to you. Because it's not about what we deserve, but it's about what Christ accomplished on the cross that day. Amen? It's not about what we deserve. Yeah, we deserve it. But it's not about, it's what about what Christ accomplished. Go with me to Mark 10. Stay on Luke. Keep your finger there or put a bookmark there or whatever. And go back with me to Mark 10. And I'm going to look at one verse, verse 45. And it reads this. For even, I'm hearing flipping, amen. And it reads this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. A ransom. That means he paid the debt, right? He paid the debt on Calvary's cross. Go with me to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to look at chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 15. Amen? Amen? As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, this is Jesus talking, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Who's the sheep? I'm the sheep. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. So though we deserve everything that he endured, amen, it's about what he accomplished for us and that he came to serve us. He came to be a ransom for us. Amen. He laid down his life for us. So if Mel Gibson got it right, I think the new title would be The Compassion of Christ. Amen. In that he loved us so much that he laid down his very life for us. Amen. How that in the midst of his hell here on earth, he reached out to save a lost sinner that day. How that Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection offers grace over sin's powerful hold. I'm here to tell you today, and the title of the message is, Sin Has No Hold. Mm. sin has no hope. And we're going to look at this from three points of view that day on Calvary's cross. There's three points of view that are very vital that we need to touch upon. It's very important that we tell the whole truth. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at it from the sinner's point of view. Now, they say that Jesus was on the cross between two thieves, one on the right and one on the left. Well, one of the sinners, and they say two criminals, two people that did wrong, amen, they never give them a name. So I'm going to tell you that one of them's name was Gestas or Gestas. If you write it down, G-E-S-T-A-S, that was his name. And what it meant was moan and groan. Amen. And so from his point of view, what happened on the cross that day was tragic. Okay, that's one of the things. It was tragic. See, he was considered a malefactor. That means an evildoer, someone who had done wrong. So he was on the cross, getting what we deserve, amen. And in the midst of being on the cross, getting what we deserve, it was a tragic event for him. Because not only was he getting what he deserved, but he refused the grace offered to him to get him out of this situation. Amen?
Amen.
So, as a result of refusing grace, he was then missing what he didn't deserve. Did you catch that? He was missing what he didn't deserve. See, we don't want to miss what we don't deserve by refusing God's grace this morning. Amen? So, this man tragically lived and died without Christ. And as a result, he was eternally lost. Eternally lost. Amen? Let's look at Psalms 9. Psalms chapter 9. When you're there, say amen. And if you get there before me, hold up. Psalms chapter 9, we're going to look at verse number 17. See, this is the tragedy. It reads, "The wicked will return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God." The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. We're going to turn back to the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Amen?
Amen.
Looking at verses number 8 and 9. I'm going to go back to the middle of the seventh verse. This will take place at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful angels, taking vengeance with flaming fire on those who do not know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength. Eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from his glorious strength. So as a result of denying grace, refusing it, this man's viewpoint of the cross was tragic because he missed out on what he didn't deserve and he got what he deserved. Amen? And it tells you clearly, going to hell, eternal destruction. Not just for a moment, but forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and as ever as it can get, destruction. Amen? Amen. We have to tell the whole truth. Amen. And so another thing from this man's viewpoint on the cross was that what we could see is his heart condition. There was something telling, not just tragic, but there was something telling about this man's viewpoint on the cross. See, first of all, he blasphemed Jesus. That means he spoke evil of Jesus to his face. Amen. And I'm going to go back to his words. Amen. Because he said this. He said, and my Bible it says, "Aren't you the Messiah?" In some people's Bibles, it may say, "If you're the Messiah." Amen. He used that word, "if," that question mark. Aren't you the Messiah? If you're the Messiah, I mean, that's, to me, that's a definite denial. That's an unbelief. Amen. And not only that, but he lashes out at his only hope. He lashes out and said, get us down from here if you are who you say you are." Insulting our Jesus. I'm telling you, this is telling. From his point of view, it shows us the condition of his heart. And see, many of us today are sitting here or out in the world or at other churches across the country, and there's something telling about the condition of our hearts. See, they say, back in the day, I remember them saying this. Somebody told me, they said, I think it was Pastor, told me they used to say, "Action speaks louder than words." Like there was a song about it. Action speaks louder than words. So-called Christian living an atheist life. Living as if we don't believe. Living as if we don't know. We are making a mockery of the gospel because we're saying one thing and we're doing something else. We're taking granted of God's grace. We're saying, "I believe." But let's look at Luke. We're going to stay, keep your finger in Luke 23. Let's go to Luke 6. I'm going to give you the whole conclusion from the gospel. Amen. We're saying one thing. Luke chapter 6. This is why I call these folks so-called Christians or what is it? What did I say? Living like atheists. Amen. Verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" 47 says, "I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them." That's a Christian. That you go to Jesus, you claim Jesus, you repent of your sins, amen?
Come on.
You hear his word, and you act on it, amen? This man was there with Jesus, and he denied his very being. He denied he was who he said he was. Amen. And sometimes today, in our actions, in our walking, in our talking, in our love walk, we deny the very existence of Christ in our lives and in our hearts. Amen. We push him out. We put him on. I'm going to take my Holy Ghost hat off and deal with you today. Amen. Let's look at it from the seeker's point of view. So there were two that were on the cross with Jesus. One of them was Justus or Gestus, and the other one was Demas, and it was derived from Nicodemus. Amen. It's spelled D-I-M-A-S, and it means death or dying. Amen. It means death or dying. And from his point of view, it was a moment of repentance. Amen. See, he was getting what he deserved on that cross. The difference was that he had a change of heart. Now, I don't know what changed his heart. I don't know whether it was how Jesus was so peaceful in the midst of his torment, how that he was willing to cancel out the hatred and the slurs and everything that was thrown at him by saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't know if it was the sign that was over Jesus' head, but he had a change of heart. And that speaks to us sitting right in here. See, we as Christians, as the church of the living God, should be walking in such a way that the sinner would look at us and see a sign over our head that says, "That is a child of God."
Amen.
Amen. That they would hear our voice when someone is lashing out at us and we turn around and forgive them quickly. And they say, "That is a child of God." We ought to be a living sign of Jesus here on this earth. Amen. So I don't know what it was that day that changed this man's heart, but he had a change of heart. He was repentant. And a sinner's repentance is the bottom line. See, without repentance, there's not forgiveness. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Without repentance, there's not forgiveness. See, some of us get caught up in the blame game, and we don't repent because, you know, my mother and my father were this way, or I went through something. You don't know what I've been through in my life, and that's why I'm like I am. So we blame, we don't repent, we blame our circumstances for how we act, how we talk, how we walk. Amen? Some of us get caught up in the world's definition of what sin is. Well, see, sin in God's eyes is sin. Amen? It's not a discreet affair, it's adultery. Amen? It's not alcoholism or a social disease. It's drunkenness. It's not embezzlement. It's cheating, lying, and stealing. Amen? It's not casual sex. It's fornication. Glory be to God. It's not sodomy or cunnilingus. It's homosexuality. Amen? You see, until we see sin as God sees sin, we're not going to repent. And if we don't repent, we're not going to be forgiven. See, we have to repent. We have to say, "Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I know the things that I say are things that I shouldn't say. And Lord, I'm going to need you to help me with this part of my life. I can't do it by myself." But as long as we blame mama and daddy or the world's definition of what it is, or make it look less than what it is, we're not going to repent because we don't think we're doing anything wrong. Amen? From the seeker's point of view, there was recognition. See, what he did was, one, he recognized that his physical death was imminent. It was going down that day. He was about to die. Amen? But he also recognized that he had a Savior right next to him. Amen? That if he just recognized him for who he was, could save him from eternal damnation. Yeah, he was going to die physically that day. Amen. That's what his name meant. Amen. Death and dying. He died to the flesh that day. Amen. But he recognized Jesus as his Savior. And it's him and him alone that can save us. Look at John 4. John. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Reads thusly. Let me look at it again. John 4. That's not the one. Go to Acts. Chapter 4. We're going to get the word on it one way or the other. Amen. Verse 12. Yes. And it reads, there is salvation in your mama. There is salvation in your boyfriend. There's salvation in your wallet. No, it says there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. That is the name of Jesus. This man recognized where his salvation lied. Amen. Right there on the cross. Glory be to God. As he was there hung beside Jesus Christ. When he recognized, he went a step further. Because we can recognize, I see it, but as long as I see this chair, my legs are tired, weak, and if I don't realize and rely on this chair to hold me up when I'm tired, then I'm going to stand up here. I'm not going to act on the fact that there's a chair right there. Amen? So we have to rely on, which means we have to release faith. We have to take a step out on faith to say, Jesus, I know. See, it only happens when we come to the end of what we have. It only happens when we come to the end of what our best friend might have to say about it. It only happens when we come to the end of our paycheck that week. It only happens when we come to the end of our mama or our daddy and what they have. Amen, to give us. It only happens when we come to the end of what the world has to offer. And then we turn from all of that and we turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know that only you are the way. I know that only you can help me out of this situation. Glory be to God. Ephesians 2. You don't have to go there. I'm going to get there quickly. Verse 8 and 9, it says, for we are saved by grace through faith. That means we step out. And this is not from ourselves. It's a gift from God, not from works, so that no one can boast. See, there's no one in this world, nothing in this world that can save us but Jesus Christ. Amen. And until we rely on that hope that we have, then we're going to stand there weak-kneed and wobbly. We got to rest in him. Amen. Have faith in him and his ability. The last point of view. The Savior's point of view. That's Jesus. Amen. Jesus, from his point of view, it was an opportunity. See, the Bible tells me that God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. It also tells me that God doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. It tells me that God doesn't know a better plan for salvation other than the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. See, and God doesn't know a better time than right now, for us to be saved. I'm here to tell you, tragedy after tragedy is happening in this world today. People are waking up every single day, not realizing that that's their last day here on earth. But Jesus knows that our opportunity for salvation is right now. If you hear the sound of my voice, I'm not talking about just the sinner lost. I'm talking about the sinner saved by grace who needs to make a heart adjustment. Amen. If you hear my voice, the opportunity is now to step out.
Yes.
Check out our heart condition and line up with Christ right now. And this is not a time to be in our feelings. This is not a time for us to be in the flesh. This is a time to accept Jesus' way right now. Amen. I'm not going to get it right every day, but I'm going to repent and say, God, I missed it. And I need you to help me with this love walk. I'm going to repent and say, God, I don't know how to forgive. But I'm going to use the words you say out of my mouth. And I'm going to forgive, because if I don't forgive, then I can't be forgiven. That's the prayer we pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespass against us. Jesus' point of view, optimism. I asked a question in Bible study this week. Why should I, as a sinner, be encouraged by the word of Jesus? Why should I be encouraged by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus assured us that today is the day that we'll be in paradise. See, the sinner that was hanging on the cross, he was beaten, he was battered, he was bruised. And he obviously didn't have a lot of strength left. But it didn't take all that. It was just a small heart adjustment. All he had to do was make a small, the faith, the size of a mustard seed. That's all it takes for us to step out, for us to act on what we believe. Amen? So he acted by calling out to God. Some of us have 401ks. Our 401k gives us a weather report, so to speak. And it tells us whether our outlook is rainy or cloudy or sunny based on the amount that we're putting into it, amen? Based on the steps that we're taking, amen? And so it'll tell you, well, if you make this little adjustment, then your outlook can be sunny. Amen. That man was going to die on the cross. Amen. But because he made that little heart adjustment, amen, he could have the glory of God. Amen. Yeah, he suffered, he bled, he died. But he lived on the other side, eternal. With Jesus said, you're going to be with me today in paradise.
Yeah.
Paradise is a walled-off garden.
Mm.
Amen. Nothing could hurt him. Nothing could harm him ever again. His outlook was sunny based on a small adjustment. Amen. And lastly, Jesus's point of view was a point of view of omnipotence. Amen. See, Jesus or Demas were all on the cross. Amen. They'd all been beaten. They'd all been battered. They were bloody. They were weak. They were tired, exhausted. Amen. More than any day's work I've ever had. Week's work. Yet Jesus, in the middle of all that, and I'm sure based on what the Bible says, that his battering was, if not as bad as these two gentlemen on the other side, it was worse. He didn't have much physical strength left. But what he did have was the power of the living God.
Yeah.
He had the power of the living God. And this was before the full weight of the world was on his shoulders. So he had the power of the living God. And with that power that he had left, he chose to save a lost sinner. See, he could have used that power to come down. He could have used that power to wipe out every one of his accusers. Look at Noah, the days of Noah. Everybody was doing what they wanted to do in their eyesight. God said, drown all those bad boys. He had the power to do that. But he took the power that he had to will himself to stay on that cross and suffer, bleed, and die for you and I. He died so that a dying sinner could have life. Look at Ephesians, and I'm going to be done. Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked, according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit not working in the disobedience. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and were by nature children under wrath as the others were also. This is the kicker. But God.
Yeah.
Somebody say, but God.
But God.
Who is rich in mercy, because of his love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Because of the completed work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, I'm here to tell you, sin has no hold. Amen? Amen.